us.
So up next, I'm coming back. Which means it's going to be a really angry song because that's all I know how to write. But this is a relatively historically accurate account of an American event. And that's pretty much all you get for context. So if my cohort is just about ready.
I got the rock machine back. Let's go.
This is Tricky Ricky. City night, desperate searching throat feels tight. Tell her from behind her street, come to get my bloody treat. In the house, my little pet, can't wait to feel her blood so pack. Won't be happy when I'm done, little grandma's my first one.
Two more songs for you. Once again, for those tuning in right now, we're Phantom Ocean from the far-flung Merrimack Valley of Massachusetts. Sarah over there on drums and sweet, sweet vocals, and I'm Drew on guitar.
And vocals.
And also vocals. I mean, I was going to leave that hanging, and then they were going to hear me in the next song, and it was going to be a big surprise.
You can find us on Facebook, technically. Instagram, theoretically. YouTube, definitely. Spotify. Certainly.
Bandcamp. You already said Bandcamp, didn't you?
No, I didn't. You're correct. All right.
Yeah, all right. This next one is called Jersey Devil Blues.
Well, he was born and he was strange.
red, black, and wings now. On that poor unwanted boy.
Thank you very much for having us here tonight at WMFO. Thank you to On the Town with Mikey D for having us here. Joel for doing such an amazing job mixing us, making us sound great. Joel, we sound massive, and I can't thank you enough. This is how I always want to sound. All right, and this is our last song.
And then we'll see you in a minute.
Yeah, then we'll go in for an interview. It'll be nice. All My Charm. It will hopefully stay around. But this is an old blues song. It's called In the Pines. My girl, don't lie.
don't lie to me. Tell me, where did you sleep last night?
In the pines where the sun don't ever shine. I would shiver the whole night through.
My girl, don't lie to me. Tell me, where did you sleep last night? In the pines where the sun
Motion, you have yourselves a great night, and stick around because we're going to go be talking in the other studio in just a second.
Oh, Cadillac rain, take me home from the cheetah. Winds blow, waters rise, all blacked out. Cadillac rain, redeem my soul. Cadillac rain, hydroplane again, slipping, sliding, lane to lane, throwing clockwise down the drain. I'm driving all night. North compass, weather fade. I'm driving all night in the Cadillac rain. Got to be a Cadillac.
Okay, that was just Travels with Brindle with Linden Street, and before that, The Teardowns with Cadillac Rain. And now I am joined by Phantom Ocean. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, Max. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How did you like your experience in Studio D?
Oh, it was great. I've played in Studio D with a couple other bands that I've been in, and it's always a fantastic time. It's always super fun, and Joel always makes it sound amazing, so...
He does. He's good at that. He's got some practice.
My first live radio drum experience.
Ooh.
Well, I left my body.
And so why don't you guys both introduce yourselves?
All right. Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Drew.
And yeah, I'm still Mellow Max. I'm not in the band. I'm just the DJ. But yeah.
DJs are important.
Yeah.
One of my best friends is a DJ.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, DJs are people too.
Yeah,
we're Phantom Ocean. We've been a band since... Actually, we formed right before the pandemic, and we were like, oh, this is great.
It was so good.
We're going to play a bunch of live shows. That's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least you guys weren't ended by the pandemic.
No.
Yeah, in fact, we were in a home together with a lot of time on our hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, did I hear that you two are married?
Yeah.
We are. Yes.
That's exciting. Did you guys start playing music together before or after?
No, we did everything backwards. So usually the sequence ought to go like, okay, you get married and then you buy a house and then you start doing like a thing together, right? Like a business or a band or something. No,
we step for step did that backwards.
Yeah, we started a band and then we bought a house and then we got married.
Okay. You know, you checked all the boxes.
We did. We just checked them completely backwards.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, the marriage plan was there before the band and the house. I mean, house comes with marriage, but...
If you're lucky.
In this economy.
So, and you guys are from...
We live in Amesbury. If we're being honest here, I'm originally from New Jersey, but
okay. Well, I'm from New York. So.
Oh, nice. What part of New York?
Westchester.
Oh, White okay.
Plains, yeah. Where in New Jersey you're from?
I bounced around a little bit. Hoboken, Woodbridge.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nice.
And near Newark, all the nice parts. You know.
Yeah.
I'm just from Amesbury. I'm a tiny little bumpkin townie.
Well, but
everyone knows my mom.
Oh, that's sweet. It's nice to have a small town feel. And how did you guys meet?
So we actually met years ago. You were doing photography at a show that one of my old bands was playing at. And we met and we became friends and I asked you out and you said no. And
correct. But then you did it again, like 2 years later.
Yeah, it's true. We were at another show and we were in Lynn. And I went, all right, let's roll the dice. We're in Lynn. There's no rules here. And
You said yes, and then here we are.
Fantastic.
My favorite introduction to the first time we met is, picture it, 2015, Revere. I am wearing lace pants on top of a man covered in nails.
Yeah, it should be noted that that show we were, in fact, playing. And in between bands, there was a geek show going on.
Oh.
Which, you know the difference between, like, a freak and a geek, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So it was a geek show. And every once in a while, somebody's like, oh, it was a freak show. I'm like, no, it... That was geek work. That's what that was. That was a hat pin through a man's arm. That's geek work.
He did escape a plastic bag over his face while in a straitjacket.
That's impressive. I mean, it's not biting the head off of a bat. But.
Certainly not. We're no Aussie here.
I heard something about the difference between like freaks and geeks, and it was that related. Yeah,
it's, something. It's old carnival. There's a dividing line there. It's an old carnival thing.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So speaking of origins, how did you guys get your name?
So we wanted to pick a band name that did not immediately tell you what we sounded like, and also had the criteria of sounding kind of like a movie that David Lynch might make. 'Cause he is, I know he's my favorite filmmaker. Is he yours too? He's up there, right?
He's definitely up there. I don't know if he's
my favorite. I'm enough of a David Lynch fan that I have a David Lynch tattoo, so...
Ooh, very
cool. I love me some David Lynch. But it also works out that, like, we love going to creepy, abandoned, haunted places. So Phantom works. I love the ocean. So how many people have died in the ocean? There are clearly more than one Phantoms in the ocean.
That's true. Yeah. And also, I feel like if the ocean were to be haunted, I mean, you don't have to stay in one spot. Nah. You've got at least the whole coast and then some.
Although, you know, they do tend to stay in the same spot. I know there's a ghost ship in Prince Edward Island, and it's always on that same dang strip.
Oh.
They love their habits.
Makes sense. Makes sense. What other creepy spots have you guys frequented?
Oh, let's see. Actually, this fall, we're going to go to the Lizzie Borden house. We're going to stay overnight. That's going to be a blast.
Ooh.
I am certainly bringing the Ouija board, not the one that we ripped out of the wall of a 300-year-old house.
No, the one that works.
Yeah, no, that's not even a word of a lie. And when I showed people the picture of it, they went, put that thing back right now. And I'm like, I can't.
Too late.
Hole's already filled. I can't put this back.
We're cleaning out my grandmother's second floor, like apartment where my great-grandma used to stay. And we're looking at it, and it turns out that way back when, there was a hole where the freeze box is supposed to go in the olden times, and my Pepe goes, I need a piece of wood. Let me take my wife's Ouija board that she tortures her children with and just cut it up and make it fit. It's covered in wax for no reason.
Ew.
It's very red wax, too. It's it gets to you.
Yeah.
And it sits right above my head while I work.
Oh,
it's
wonderful.
Great.
But we've
yeah,
been
let's
to
see.
Wakefield.
Yeah.
Medfield.
Medfield State Hospital.
Yeah. Which is actually where the picture on the front of our first EP comes from. Because a lot of people went in there and placed some really weird things in the windows before they were like, please don't go in there.
There's a lot of asbestos, guys.
Yeah. So that one's cool.
Medfield State Hospital. Holy Land, USA in Connecticut, which is... Okay. If you're not familiar, so have you ever driven through Connecticut?
Yes.
And you know when you drive through Waterbury and there is a big cross up on the hill?
Yes.
That is the remnants of, and I suppose technically it's now open and they're slowly trying to renovate it, a place called Holy Land USA. And what that is it was a Catholic theme park that a man decided to build. Not amusement park, theme park specifically. There's a difference. Amusement parks have rides, theme parks don't.
Okay.
Theme parks can have rides, but they don't have to. And it's this abandoned, decaying tableau of biblical scenes. And it was unfortunately the site of a murder at one point in the 2000s. And we just went, I was like, this seems like a cool hike. There was the abandoned... The abandoned zoo, right?
Yes.
In Connecticut? There was a Depression-era zoo, and you can still walk through. It's now been overtaken by the woods.
cages. Very cool. And that's nearby?
That one's I think close to Canterbury, Connecticut.
That one's near Hartford.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Actually close to home is Maudsley State Park in Newburyport, which has a bunch of like decrepit old bunkers and like foundations.
And they say that if you go there at night, you can see the severed heads above the gates.
Ooh,
also, our house is haunted.
Yeah.
And we don't talk about that enough.
No.
Mostly because I've yelled the ghost in submission. So we live in an old converted brothel. And I didn't know this when we bought it.
I didn't even know it. And I lived in that town.
Yeah. And the first neighbor comes up and they go, you know, this place used to be a brothel, right? And I'm like, I did not know that. That's fascinating. And then the second neighbor that I talked to was like, oh, that place. You know, it used to be a brothel years back, right? Like turn of the century. And I'm like, I've heard that. And by like the seventh person, I went,
hey, you know,
okay, am I the last person that knew that I was moving into the old haunted cat house?
That's so funny.
And apparently, yes, I was. And,
wasn't a very disruptive ghost. Just opened some cabinets and left some weird buttons.
Yeah. I would walk out into the kitchen like, all right, I'm going to go, you know, brush my teeth. It's late at night. I got to go to bed. And, all the cabinets would be wide open. And that wouldn't be weird except that, the house is on a little bit of a slant because it's 100-some years old and the foundation is settled.
But
and all of it slants back. Like, I can't leave my fridge door open. It automatically swings closed because of the slant. And I'm like, so those doors shouldn't be open. And you'd hear them at night. And one day at 3 a.m., I woke up and I walked out and I went, hey, knock it off. It's nighttime. Stop. And I swear to you, it never happened again.
Yeah.
Huh.
So now it's nice and peaceful and the only thing haunting it is our cat.
Fascinating.
Oh, and that one other one that it's a burned down foundation of a hotel in Holyoke on a mountain trail, and I forget the name, but it is so cool.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm gonna have to look some of these up.
I'm a big fan of Atlas Obscura.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, here's where we're gonna go next.
You know, right in my backyard back home is Untermeyer Gardens.
Ooh,
have you heard of it?
Of course.
It's lovely.
It's also
and creepy.
Terrifying. I myself am a true crime junkie. It's a bit of a problem, so I know all about it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've been on so many walks there. It's a great date spot.
It looks stunning.
Oh yeah, and the history, and they've done a good job of not removing all of the urban decay and weirdness. They have sort of confined some of it. But, like, the first time I went there in 2016, it was really overgrown, and now it's spruced up a bit, but still a very creepy spot, and I would recommend. Would highly recommend.
I'll have to add that to the list.
I mean, we were going to, and then we didn't get down to New York.
There's also that one, the thing that always gets me is, and I don't know, Westchester, I feel like, probably doesn't have this either. Where I grew up, cemeteries are, like, that's a thing that you go to. Like, the cemetery is, like, over there, and you know where it is. Whereas here in New England, I keep turning around, and I'm like, wow, that's a tiny cemetery. That's a cemetery that's, like, smaller than, you know, a $2,000 a month Alston apartment, which
There's
is to say it's a 200-square-foot cemetery.
There is a cemetery in Seabrook, New Hampshire, behind Bob's Furniture.
We also
came across one on our way down to Deerfield one fall that was just three grave markers in this big clearing off of this, like, tiny side road. And it was, like, and I can't find anything on it. And it was just, like, was there a zombie apocalypse? There's only three stones, and they're, like, 10 feet apart from each other.
And they don't have fences around any of them, and it weirds me out.
Or any real discernible names.
There's the one, I remember the one time we were driving to Kingston, New Hampshire, and I've never found it again because we were driving along, and it's like the middle of the night, and there's just suddenly a graveyard. And I look at it, and I'm like, I could get out of the car. I'm not gonna, but it's a thing I'm capable of doing.
We got a lot of dead people here.
And I'm like, all right, I'm going to come back, and I'm... Because also, I can't read anything in the dark. I want to see what these graves are. I want to see how old they are. And we drove down that same road again, and I have never seen... I've driven that road a dozen times since then in broad daylight, and I'm like, wow, I can just never find this again, huh?
Huh.
That graveyard existed in that one liminal space, that one moment in time, and I'm just never going to find it
again,
I guess. All
right, that's a song subject.
Oh, ooh. That is very bizarre.
It is super weird.
So the question about fences around graveyards, would that be to keep things in or out?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Blanket answer, yes. In terms of like an actual answer, I mean, if you believe in spirits and the occult and all of that, and I do, and I've had people like actually ask me this, because I know somebody out there is listening and they're like, ah, does he really believe in that sort of stuff? I'm like, yep, I've seen ghosts. And it's, no, if you're around a graveyard, one, you do want to keep people out, because, I mean, how many times have we seen, all you have to do is look at the graveyards in Salem where it's like, yep, some of those graves are just annihilated.
Yeah.
And it's a shame. And part of it is just, no, you need a border. You need a defined space between these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah. Or at least I also just think it's nice of, you know, you should have a defined space.
Yeah, even if it's not like a prohibitive border, having a symbolic kind of,
yeah,
you know, like some kind of just marker.
Foot-high fence, that's all you need. Also, can we bring back the thing where property next to graveyards is cheap?
Oh, God, please? I miss that. Everybody wants to be next to a graveyard now.
It's not even that they want to be next to a graveyard, it's that housing is so expensive. They're like, all right, whatever. I don't care if you built the foundation over a bunch of graves. I'll take my chances with Poltergeist.
Oh my God, Steven Spielberg with this boy.
Have you seen the movie Poltergeist, Max?
I don't believe so.
Oh, it is the greatest moment of the 80s. Steven Spielberg made an entire movie about how you should respect the resting dead and not desecrate their bodies.
And used real bodies.
Really?
They were cheaper than fake ones.
It was cheaper to get real bodies than fake ones, and all I can think of is that somebody sat there and looked at him and went, really? Really? Why? And Steven Spielberg went, no reason.
Right, yeah. Yeah, sounds like the 80s.
Yeah.
Accurate.
I mean, in that golden age of creepy movies, there's also Pet Sematary.
Yes.
I bet that house was cheap.
I mean, that house would, I mean...
Relatively.
One, for the time, I'm sure it was. And also, I mean, it's Maine, and I love Maine. I would certainly consider moving to Maine, but... Oh, my God, I have driven through Maine. I have friends who live in Maine, and one year we went to a friend's wedding, and I'm just like, all right, so we got to, like, make this a multi-day trip, don't we? Okay, cool, drive 6 hours, get... All right, we're almost there, right, as we check into the hotel? No, we're halfway there.
Oh, man.
I'm like, you moved to Timbuktu, Maine.
Yeah.
Great. Or like Rangeley, Maine is supposed to be beautiful and you can see
but
everything.
Maine is a wasteland of trees.
It's true. It's true.
It's like Maine is so big, there's like 12 people there.
But also it has one of my favorite bands, When Particles Collide, so like Maine's doing pretty good. Maine's doing pretty well for itself. And it's got big, cheap houses.
Yep, that's true. That's true. And a creepy cemetery or two, I'm sure. So speaking of other bands, what bands are your inspirations, would you say?
So I actually will cite When Particles Collide, because when we got together, we knew that we were both talented musicians. Or let me rephrase that. I knew she was a talented musician. And I knew that I am a musician. But also, I've been around bands, and I've been in bands where somebody's like, I would like my girlfriend to join this band. And I'm like, this is a terrible plan, man. This is a bad idea. And you've had similar situations, right?
Yeah.
And so we were very hesitant to be that couple that has a band. And then we went and saw When Particles Collide, who I do believe played here before, and they have played the Rock and Roll Rumble and things like that. And Sasha
They're
and Chris are spectacular human beings. And also a great band. And so that was definitely one. I'm going to throw the White Stripes out there because it's an obvious comparison because, obviously.
There's definitely a twinge of My Chemical Romance. We can't stop it. True emo.
I mean, I wouldn't want to. That is the New Jersey flowing through my veins.
And I actually... Bowling for Soup is kind of one of my big stands on punk. I am punk rock garbage. Simple Plan, put it in me. Bowling for Soup all the time. They actually released a song about how they've been around for so long, and they're like, we're the first album you bought that had swears on it. I was like, oh no, it's true. Oh, 13-year-old me was ruined.
Called out. Yeah.
It's funny because for me, my big ones were Black Flag, Queen, Led Zeppelin, and not even so much, I feel like everybody cites the Misfits, and I do like the Misfits, but no, Danzig. I was like, I was a child when Mother came out on MTV, and I was like, all right, who is Satanic Elvis? And thankfully, I have older cousins who were cool and could, like, you know, give me a tape of several Danzig albums, which was probably like three more Danzig albums than I ever needed in my life. I needed one. So, you know, those when I was a kid, like I said, Black Flag, you know, Danzig, Queen, Zeppelin, and Smashing Pumpkins, even though that's a super problematic band and I don't like to think about Billy Corgan too much. And then as I've gotten older, and especially since I've been in Boston for so long, it's a lot of Boston bands. It's a lot of like local Boston bands. It's nice. You know, I heard you and Joel talking while we were setting up our gear about the Boston music scene, and it's just nice to be in like this vital, you know, really good music scene. Bands like Linnea's Garden, bands like Walter Sickert and the Army of Broken Toys, who we got to open up for this year. I'm gonna end up forgetting
Stars Like Ours,
Stars Like Ours, the Downhauls, our buddy Rich Mirsky, whose shirt I'm rocking right now. I'm going to end up forgetting like a dozen of my friends' bands, but yeah, just being in the Boston music scene is great because
Teasers, Key of Caustic, and just being like loud and fun and enjoying things.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
New England has an entire great music scene. Like Providence is awesome too.
God, yeah. Mm-hmm. Neglected Witches.
Yeah. But you know, Boston is just great. And The one thing that I regret about not living right in the city is no longer being kind of stumbling distance from clubs, where I can just be like dog tired at the end of somebody else's gig and be like, all right, well, I got to like hop on my bike and ride 20 minutes home, and then I can, you know, pass out in my own bed and it'll be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm very lucky. I'm like living right in Central. And so
nice.
Like, yeah. Literally stumbling distance from the Middle East. Which is also a sort of problematic venue, but at least they're there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, and you've got Cantab up the street, which, you know, I don't know the people running it now. I just know that I loved Club Bohemia. I loved it when Mickey was running it, and he was the first person who gave me a shot in Boston of just calling this guy and going, all right. You got this much material. You can fill this. Great. You have an opening slot.
We are Mickey Bliss stands up in here. Oh my god, he's just so cool.
I have one of his 7-inch records at home in my collection, and it's great. And for anyone listening who knows Mickey, there's a picture of him on the front of it, and he hasn't really changed in the intervening 40 years.
I think
years.
His hair color just changed.
Yeah, I think it's the same suit. yeah, you've got the Plow and Stars. That's same thing, walking distance from you.
Yep.
Charlie's, which only does shows on Mondays.
I got the Jungle.
Yeah, Jungle. If you go to Somerville, like the Jungle's great.
Yeah.
Once is actually still running. They're running their last outdoor show this Saturday.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
they were
Speedy
in,
Ortiz.
Once at Boynton Yards for their like outdoor venue. During the summer, I know they did it last year, and they had a ton of shows. And this year, they kind of festival focused so that they could have more gaps. But it's so cool. They're set up. They've really honed it in, and like figured out how best to do it. Oh my god, it looks so great.
Oh, it's awesome. Fantastic.
Yeah, I
don't even mind the sunburn.
Where are they based now?
So in the open season where they can have outdoor shows, they're in Boynton Yards.
Which is over by like the Tazo Chocolate Factory. It's over by Union Square.
Okay.
And then for indoor shows, they've been kind of bouncing around as presented shows at like
Rockwell and Crystal Ballroom and various other
spaces.
Places. Yeah.
Awesome.
So I'll have to keep an eye out. There's so much stuff going on. It's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm a big fan of the Boston scene. How did you end up in? I mean, you're from Massachusetts. How did you end up in the area?
So I moved to Boston 17 years ago because mm-hmm. I was dating someone who went to school here in Boston, and I was here for a week, and I went back home for a funeral, and I came back, and she promptly broke up with me.
Oof.
And I looked at my lease, and I went, well,
guess I'm here
until this runs out. And I have never left. And the funny story is, we reconnected later on, like years later, and the first thing out of her mouth was, sorry I broke up with you right after you came back from your grandpa's funeral. And I'm like, wow, you remember that. I mean, I remember that because it's my grandfather, but you remember that. Thank you, apology accepted. Oh my god, you remembered that. I'm like, that was a long time ago. I don't expect people to keep track of my grandpa.
Yeah. Well, right. I guess it was memorable on all accounts.
Yeah, it was an occasion. But yeah, no, that's yeah. I just wanted to change the pace from being in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. It was time for a change of pace, and New Jersey is another place with an amazing music scene that's produced a ton of great bands. Thursday, My Chemical Romance, Screaming Females, who are another one of my favorite bands.
Bruce Springsteen.
Of course. Yes, Dad is the best.
I almost said Bon John Dovey. That's not right.
Yeah. Well, that's 11:44 for you.
It's true.
Yeah. What's your how would you describe your music writing process?
Shotgun.
Shotgun. We have two approach. Very different approaches. Because I have an absolute scatterbrain, and so for instance, Tricky Ricky, I wrote one verse and then it was stuck there for 4 months. I was like, I don't know, I ran out. I'm done, I guess. And then we wrote Notice Me Senpai as a joke in the car.
That's the first song we wrote for this band, and I was like, wow, this... We played it, and I'm like, wow, this actually has legs. This is great.
Mm-hmm. And, several other songs. I'm just like, we're out at a show or somewhere, and I was like, furiously, because if my brain does it, if I don't put it out right at that moment, I'm like, it's gone forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't matter if it sucks. To be fair, if it sucks, I throw it away because I'm a perfectionist.
It they can't all be gems. I end up writing a lot. I will fill notebooks with ideas, and then, you know, I'll start coming up with parts of songs, and I'll just kind of dive deep, and I'll be like, all right, what works? And I find that I have to come up with the melody and the lyrics kind of at the same time, or it's much harder. And I'll just record a lot of stuff onto the phone, and then I'll go back and I'll listen to it and start trying to pair up melody and lyrics and chord progressions. And the number one thing that I look for is, do I wince? Did I listen to that and I went, ooh.
It's so funny because you'll puzzle
that's
things
bad.
Together to figure it out. I just kind of walk up to you and be like, I pooped out a song.
It is in fact just like that. You're just like, I did this. You come at me with songs like the cat comes at me with a dead mouse.
Yes, with
look
the
at
same
what I
aggression.
Did for you.
And probably a similar level of pride.
Hey.
Our cat battle cries when he brings us a mouse.
The Yorubles.
Pay attention. Check it out. That's
that actually.
Yeah. He's a little old cat, and so I think that every time he does it, it's just, I got a lot left in the tank. Look at what I did.
He slaughtered 6 mice, so, that's impressive.
Yeah.
And no blood on mommy's carpet.
Oh, perfect.
He has 5 teeth, so blood is hard. so that's how it breaks down, is she often brings, a full song, and meanwhile, it either comes out all at once, or it is me just piecing things together and trying them because one of us knows music theory and the other one is just kind of hammering at it with a pool cue until the song stops moving.
It's me. It's me. I paid for an expensive piece of paper that I can just hit people with.
Well, that's usually how that goes. Yeah. Which school?
I went to UMass Boston, which actually, like, it's getting more attention, but when I first went, because I had auditioned for Berkeley, and I got an acceptance, but it was like, how can I afford this? At that point, it was already like $50,000 a semester or something. And they have a very, like, comparable music program. Hmm. It's super underrated, and you don't need an audition to get in, but a lot of times, like, if you don't feel the connection, I've seen a lot of people come and go within a semester while I was there. And of course it's more like classical based, but oh god, it's so great.
Very cool.
It's fabulous.
Yeah.
I dropped out of college 2 years in to go join the circus.
Freaks or geeks?
Neither. Roustabout.
What's that?
Rousties are the people who like run rides and set up and break down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Very
yeah.
cool.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I could have done a geek show. I don't like needles.
That's
says a man with several tattoos on his arm.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, just because I don't like needles doesn't mean I won't tolerate them for the right reason.
We do love art.
Yeah. No, it's. She has the fancy music education, and I abandoned an English degree 2 years in to go, I want to go join the circus.
And how do you think that's informed your music? Has it?
I think it taught me not to run away from things, which is why I've stuck with music for 10 years.
Yeah.
You have more life experiences. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I bet it provides some sort of a perspective.
No.
Maybe.
Yeah. I think bartending probably provided more perspective for me. Because I also bartended for a few years here in Boston.
Yeah.
Can't argue that.
Yeah. That was a good time.
Mm-hmm. So, bartending or gigging, do you have any favorite gigs to or any favorite venues to go to play at or to watch shows
to play at and to watch? Let's see. I mean, it's shameless plug, I'm gonna say Once in mm-hmm. I loved Once when it was I never got to play with my old bands at Once before they closed their space on Highland Ave. Love playing in Boynton Yards.
Even in the old space, like physical space, and at Boynton Yards, the sound production is stunning.
Yeah,
they do such a good job.
I really do like the Jungle. The Jungle is fun. We have a gig coming up there actually in November. It's at least right now, the last gig we have for the year, because November and December get dicey for us with family commitments, and also. Occasionally a church hires you to just sing and they pay you money.
You can hire me to pretend to be a Catholic woman for upwards of 3 hours. I will bring a book. I will read it while there's a long sermon going.
The Midway over in JP.
God,
if we're talking about great venues in Boston, the Midway has to be in the conversation. I've never had a gig there that I didn't feel like we sounded fabulous at.
I never had a bad time in the Midway. Like, even the weirdest the weirdest things can happen at the Midway. And even, like, physically at the Midway, at the show, it's like, this is fine. I'll be okay.
There was that time we did a fill-in gig on 30 minutes notice.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
So we showed up. We were there as spectators. We were just there to go see our friend. Actually, this friend, Richard Mirsky, play. And two of the bands showed up and they didn't have their vax cards, and the venue required proof of vaccination.
Yeah, this was like shortly after everything started opening up.
It was November of last year.
Excuse me.
And so they didn't have their vax cards with them, and it crushed me because one of them was friends of mine from New Jersey. And
they're
going,
like,
excited to see them.
Can someone take a picture of it? I live alone. Oh.
And so we did a fill-in gig there on like 30 minutes notice of, can you play a set?
I don't have anything.
Sure. I have to borrow all the gear, but...
Have this gear.
And I'm like, I don't have an excuse anymore, so I guess we're playing this gig. Yeah, no, the Midway is fantastic. The Jungle.
Dusk in Providence.
Dusk in
really
Providence
fun.
Is so good. The News Cafe in Pawtucket is great. I mean, are we talking just Boston or are we talking other places?
Go for it.
Oh, jeez.
RIP shout out to the Chit Chat Lounge in Haverhill. We miss you. It's something else now, but it will never be the Chit Chat Lounge.
I had an ex who moved in behind the Chit Chat Lounge and immediately started filing noise complaints. And I went, no, you don't get to do that.
Music club.
You don't get to move in behind a club that's been there for like almost 40 years and be like, it's too loud.
Well, that's like there's one in Haverhill in Lafayette Square that keeps changing owners. And I think they've hit like a real winner. The space is great. The sound across the board has been really good. And it's a fun shape of a space. It's an old building. Mm-hmm. But they've just kind of been figuring out, because the past two, they were like country themed, but they didn't just do country nights, because obviously you're in northern Massachusetts, and I'm just going to say it. Why is this such a big thing? It's really, why? don't get me started.
Located in the part of Massachusetts that thinks Confederate flags are appropriate.
You mean New Hampshire?
Accurate. It's like, I'm a country girl. Like, girl, your dad's a dentist in Methuen.
Like, yeah,
what?
It's like, I'm a country girl. You're in Exeter.
You live in Exeter, New Hampshire. I love Exeter, New Hampshire, but that's not country.
No.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love their UFO festival.
Let's see. If we're going like all time, just places, and they're not places that we've played yet, obviously, because we haven't done a lot of touring because we need to train the cat to hang out in a van all day.
Yeah.
Because he is coming with me, and I am showing him the world. Mohawk Place in Buffalo is great, which my buddy Marty runs. The Fuse Box in Albany, New York is... I should say was great the last time I was there, but I haven't been there in years. A friend of mine DJs there, and he's like, yep, it's great. It's the Fuse again. And I'm like, cool, I can't wait to go back. Someone book me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find that I enjoy more venues than I don't enjoy, because unless you're doing a really lousy job of it or you're ripping off musicians, you don't go and start a venue or run a venue to, like, get rich. You run a venue because you want music to be happening there.
Absolutely. I mean, as Joel was saying on one of the previous shows, like, people doing the... doing the good work, you know?
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
It's, I've never, I shouldn't say I've never understood. I definitely understand where some people can get hostile towards venues, and I'm like, yo, I've been on the other side of the bar, not in a music club, but in a bar, and I'm like, I know what that world looks like. You're not raking it in hand over fist running a venue. No. You're doing a thing. You're
when in doubt, be kind, man.
It's not hard.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah. But it is very nice that Boston has such a nice collection of,
Yeah.
And also of people who want to play at those locations and go to those locations. You know, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go Boston.
I do have to shout out to, I haven't had a chance to play there in years, but... Ralph's in Worcester is...
Oh my god, it's so cool.
I love Ralph's, and it is one of those... It's one of those venues that if you just describe it to people on, like, the bare brass tacks of it...
Oh, Ralph's.
I was gonna say, if you describe it on the bare brass tacks of it, it almost sounds like it's gonna be a train wreck, but it's, like, the most beautiful train wreck you could ever walk into. It's like... Yeah, they've painted the backdrop to look like almost a cabaret stage with, like, the red curtains parting, and the downstairs is a diner car, and, you know, the parking lot is full of potholes and all this, and it's like, it's the most magical place on earth.
You've That's stepped fantastic. Into a new world.
Step back in time, almost.
Yeah, you've kind of stepped back into, like, punk rock heaven.
Mm. all the good parts about stepping back in time.
Yeah, they cleaned up the needles. Yeah. Nothing to step on. Yeah. Well, it's almost midnight. So, do you guys have any final thoughts to wrap things up?
I mean, if we're gonna do the shameless plug thing, shows upcoming: September 30th at Exhibit A Brewing in Framingham, October 8th at the Midway. It's a matinee show with Electric Paisan from Providence, the Teasers, and the Guillotinagers. The 15th at the Hotel Vernon in Worcester, which is another magical place. Babe Ruth drank there, apparently, with West Side Rats and Neglected Witches. October 21st with Neglected Witches, Mecca, Dandelion Pipe Bomb, and some other great bands at the News Cafe in Pawtucket. If we want to talk about magical venues, the News is fantastic, and the floor does, in fact, kind of look like a David Lynch film.
And October 29th at RG's Pub in Haverhill with our pals from
Golly G. Wilkers.
My brain just forgot how to say it. It's too late. And TBA for other bands.
And then November 11th, we're actually going to be at the Jungle in Somerville celebrating the release of our next single, which is Hangman's Joke, which we played earlier tonight. We have a video coming out for it. We have the song coming out. It drops on November 1st, which is All Souls Day, if you are Catholic, and or All Saints Day or All Souls Day, depending on which particular strain you follow. And it is an important day for me as a lapsed Catholic who's constantly a little bit afraid that he's going to the fiery place. And listen, I got so many things. I got so many reasons I'm going, and I just don't need to talk about them. But also, that is right about our wedding anniversary is Halloween. So rather than ask people for a gift, we like to give a gift for our anniversary. So that's going to be what it is.
Very nice.
And that is with our friends, the Jacklights and Key of Caustic and the Teasers.
And Somerville. We're hopefully going to go on more spooky adventures. So if you want to see what those are like, you can find us on TikTok, because